It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 415 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. As we kick off 2020, Richard Rivera is returning and he's bringing with him Chris Hamer. Of course, Richard Rivera is the creator and writer for Stabbity Bunny, and full disclosure, I'm the editor of that book. There's a special called Emmett's Story that has just been released. We discussed that, and Chris Hamer is here because he's provided a very special cover for that issue, and I'm sure you're going to want to pick it up at your local shop. Either that or go to scoutcomics.com. We talk about the projects that each of them are working on, including what we might see from them in the near future. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they have to say. There's a lot to get to kick off 2020, so let's get on with the show. It's great to welcome back to the podcast Richard Rivera, the creator of Stabbity Bunny and Shadow Play, among other good things. How you doing, Richard?
Great. How are you, Wayne?
Good, good. And it's great to welcome for the very first time Chris Hamer, an accomplished artist who has some good things coming, as well as he does a cover for something that Richard's doing. So how you doing, Chris?
I'm doing awesome, Wayne. How you doing, brother?
Good, good. It's good to talk with you. You're on a commute while we're doing this, very safely doing this, so that we can get this all together.
Yeah, hands-free here in Georgia.
Yeah. Okay. So why don't we start out? I'll talk with Richard Rivera, because you've got some good news coming about with Stabbity Bunny. As I understand it, the bunny is back, and there's a one-shot that Chris was involved with. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
All right. Well, the issue that's going to come out as a one-shot, actually, that came out on the New Year's Day, is Emmett's Story. And it deals with the senseless violence that can result from blind hatred and bigotry. It features a couple that we've seen before in Stabbity Bunny in issues 3 and 4, Emmett and Wally. And Wally is a 65-year-old truck driver, and he's actually the victim of a brutal attack in the opening sequence. And we deal with the tragedy that results from that and the impact on Emmett, his family, and the friends, and Emmett's journey. Our hope is that even with the magical and other forces that are involved in the Stabbity Bunny world, that the readers will feel the humanity of these characters, and that each reader will relate in their own way.
Very good. And of course, this is, as we said, it's already out. You can check with your local store and order it. Now, your involvement, Chris, is that you did a cover for this. Do you want to talk about how you got involved with this?
Well, I've known Richard for a while, and when back and forth, we've gone back and forth and sent each other stuff, like projects we're working on, and he sent me a PDF of the Emmett story, and immediately, as soon as I read it, I got chills, because it just, it's nothing that I've ever dealt with personally, but it was something that I felt passionate about, and I find that just the mere thought of it makes me angry and sad that here it is 2020 and that we still have this sort of idiocracy that gets displayed towards people, that it really doesn't bother you, man. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't change your life if somebody loves another person. And so it just, once I read it, I was like, immediately wrote Richard and went, I have to be part of this some way. Please let me be part of this. And then me and Richard started talking some more about it. And I came up with the concept for the variant cover of like an Ouroboros, which is the snake eating its tail. So pretty much the cycle just continues if we don't break it somehow. And I did a skull with a snake coming through it, eating its tail, and Emmett because of his anger. And the idea behind it, without giving too much of the story away, is, you know, this guy lost his love over something senseless. And I can only imagine what it'd be like if I lost my wife or daughter or even a dear friend, how much rage I would have. And it's going to take something to break that feeling inside me that's going to keep me from just making another crime out of a crime. And it's just so it's just a constant cycle. And so I pitched the idea to Richard. Obviously, he dug it, and he's been gracious enough to let me do it. And then the more we've talked about it, we've come up with ideas on how to kind of get this message that he's trying to, you know, convey in the story out to as many people as possible and help different things. So we're working a couple of ideas, you know, and at that point, man, it's an honor to be part of this, and I can't wait to see where this goes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have an event together next weekend. I think it's on, let's see, the 11th?
Yes.
You guys will both be at Scout Headquarters in Fort Myers doing a signing there. Have you been down in that part of Florida before, Chris?
I have not.
Okay.
I've been down towards Tampa, but not as far as Fort Myers.
So that'll be good. So you'll be there to sign the cover that you designed. So that'll be there.
Yes, the one with Richard. I'll also have, there'll be a few copies, I imagine, still kicking around of the New York Comic Con exclusive from last year being 2 years ago, mm-hmm. That I did for Stabity Bunny. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have a variant fidget for the mall. For Red Winter, and I believe the Solar Flare number 3 trade paperback might be out, either or coming out shortly, mm-hmm. and I did a cover for that. So I'll have a couple things down there, and I'll be coming down from, you know, Georgia, and I'll have a couple prints and little stuff and some cool giveaways. So hopefully you guys can make it out. It'd be rad.
Because now you're starting to get more and more involved with Scout, sounds like.
Yeah, I got my first creator-owned book coming out February 19th mm-hmm. on Scout. It's called The Adventures of Byron. It's an all-ages book about three monsters that kind of live and get into mischief together. Mm-hmm. And then two of the three are the mischief makers, while one of them is kind of the voice of reason that helps bail the other two out when their mischief gets a little too carried away. Mm-hmm. And so the first issue will be out February 19th on Scout.
Okay, because the good news is, you know, Scout has like Stabity Bunny and also Gut Ghost, and I think Byron's going to fit right into that little niche thing that goes over so well for Scout. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, thanks, sir.
Now let's get back to Stabity Bunny, though, and Richard, let's talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, now Stabity Bunny's back in production and coming out in the stores. This is going to be the first. It's going to be a standalone issue, and then there'll be issue 9 will come out after that. Why is this a standalone issue?
Well, it was actually originally slated to be issue 10, and we have a full range of readers from 6 years old to 80-something years old that I'm aware of personally, and there are just some issues and some moments in life that I think parents get to decide when they want to have that discussion with their children. And so rather than have issue 9 and then maybe some parents wanting to wait to discuss certain issues with their children, which is absolutely, you know, their choice, I thought that if we made it a one shot, because it is told from characters that are normally in the background, it's told from Emmett's point of view. So while it is part of the story, it could be kind of rearranged a little bit and become a one-shot without hurting the storyline. So this way, parents can still, you know, the children still get issue 9, issue 10, issue 11, not have a gap in their collection you know, and some of the tension that might cause. It also allows for readers who want to just pick up this issue, you know, maybe it speaks to them on different levels than just the Stabbity Bunny comic book series, and they want to pick up this issue, they can do that without feeling like, you know, I need to get those other nine issues first or I'm going to be lost. You absolutely would not be lost as a new reader. Obviously, you're not going to get everything. I think the characters are integrated fairly well, and I think that just like with any first experience with a series, even if it is the introduction, you don't know everything about everybody, but you do know what you need to know about the central characters.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Chris, back to you. I want to talk about where the idea came for the cover, because there is in the story there is a snake-like creature that's involved. Is that where you got the idea to do the cover like that?
Actually, no. But it's a very good, you know, coincidence, and it works really well. And looking back on it, I could see how it could be a good comparison or a good, you know, good thought. And but it was not. It was the idea of the Ouroboros, again, the snake eating its tail, and it basically represents the whole continuing cycle, you know. And with this story, like I said earlier, it's one of those things that, like, unless we can find some way to structurally do something about this, and maybe education's it, maybe just, you know, showing that love conquers all. It's one of those situations that I think if we don't do something about it and show that, you know, it's okay for heterosexuals and homosexuals to, like, be united, or I don't even know how to describe that, because to me it's such a foreign concept to have to explain how to separate the two. But if there's a way to show people that there's more to this, then maybe we can stop that snake from eating its tail, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like the idea, there's, and I don't know if this is too soon, but there's two versions technically for this cover based off the same snake eating its tail skull mashup that I did. And one's got a tarot card look to it, while the other one is a close up of the snake in the skull. And the idea that me and Richard came out with was making it a tarot card, but having a word that wasn't related to the tarot card deck. And the word that I picked was courage, because I think that anybody that can help break that cycle or stop that feeling that you need to react this way if you don't agree with a lifestyle, it takes courage amongst all the people that are going to judge you or assume that you, you know, I don't even know the words, man. It's one of those things. Like, well, it kind of actually gets me a little bit to try to describe this, because it's just, to me, it just doesn't make sense in my head. But I think the word courage is what it takes. You know, it takes courage to move past things, move past differences, move past fear, move past things we don't understand, move past all of the different stuff that clouds our head and puts us in these, like, brain wormholes that we get stuck in, and these opinions that how they matter so much what the person to our right or left thinks, when at the end of the day, it only matters what you think, you know, and what you feel and the people that you surround yourself with. And if those people can't get behind those situations and understand that it's okay, mm-hmm. then it's going to take the courage, I guess, again, back to that word, to step away from the groups of folks that can take something like this completely to a extreme level as to commit a hate crime or something. And it takes that courage to step away from those folks and be brave enough to just to say no, that this is ridiculous. This is not how it has to be. Mm-hmm. And I think, and coming up with a cover, like, it was just a matter of, like, trying to put how I feel on the paper. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to show a cover, like a image of the cover on your website or on mm-hmm. your Facebook page or social media, you'll see it's got a very angry approach to it. The colors are really disjointed and splattery and chaotic. There's a lot of lines, and it's kind of busy, mm-hmm. Especially busy in comparison to what Dwayne does inside of Stabbity Bunny, mm-hmm. and what Richard and Dwayne have created in the universe. But that's kind of how I feel when it comes to these kind of topics. It's just chaotic in a sense that I don't get it. And I've said that a couple times, that it's just chaotic in the sense it just doesn't, it's foreign to me, man. So it's to me, it seems like it's all over the place, like, or my brain becomes all over the place. And so when I drew this, I kind of approached the drawing like that, as opposed to one of my other drawings or the Byron comic or like even the previous cover I did for Richard. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more to it.
And the, just to get to your, because, you know, central to part of what you were saying there, Chris, was about the cycle and the violence and breaking that cycle and hopefully a slightly different way. Stabbity Bunny does deal with, like, the seven deadly sins, but manifested in a not your typical manifestation of those things. And this one does deal with wrath. And in this, quite literally, part of the manifestation of wrath is fire. And fire, because to me, that's what wrath is. It consumes its host, leaving nothing but emptiness and ashes, and it can spread, unfortunately, even to the victims. And when you say that it makes you angry, in a way, you know, it's controlled anger, obviously, it's just your, but in a way, it kind of goes to that same point. I mean, wrath is senseless, it's consuming, it's destructive, and stepping away from that is the challenge. And you know, quite literally, either, you know, putting out that fire or, you know, finding a way to not be consumed by it.
And that's an act of courage in itself.
Right. Right, I agree with that, and that's kind of what, you know, Emmett will face in that issue.
Now, Chris, how long did it take to draw the cover? I mean, was it faster than a normal cover or longer? I mean, how did that go?
It was immediate. I mean, honestly, I don't want to sound like I'm patting myself on the back, but it was one of those situations that I read it. I had a kind of an idea. And Richard, being Richard, said, you know what? I trust your art. I know what's up. Run with it. And then just show me what you got, and we'll see how it, you know, stacks up. Mm-hmm. And I think within like an hour, I had something sketched out. Wow. And if I'm not mistaken, Richard, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I sent it over to you like a rough sketch, and you went, okay, cool. And then it was just, it was not the next day or the day after I had it done. It was like, there you go. And then we started playing with other ideas, and, you know, it seemed like it went very fast.
Cool.
And that's the way a lot of the best covers come. I mean, you didn't have to labor, you didn't have to, it wasn't a manipulation of anything, it was just an honest expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Exactly.
Very great, very great. Look, I've already seen it, so I'm going to probably put that as part of the display for this week's podcast, so people can see what it looks like. Richard, anything else that you want to talk about as far as the Return of Stabbity Bunny? This is already out, so people can get it if they haven't, you know, if they've missed Stabbity Bunny, and even if they haven't read it before, you can probably pick it up and start here. Talk about the Return of Stabbity Bunny.
Well, one thing I would say, because I have heard back from more than one reader, and the reader's like, well, you know, I'm really looking forward to, you know, some new issues, et cetera, and even of Ever After, which we haven't really touched on. But and so I told him, I was like, well, Ever After came out very early December, and, you know, basically tomorrow, Emmett's story's out, and then in later January to maybe the very first week of February, depending on the Diamond Gods and their distribution handling. You know, there'll be issue 9 in February. And he had said that his store actually told him they did not come out So it's kind of easy for a store maybe to assume that, or because we did have, of course, My Medical Issues and everything else, and we fell behind. But I believe it's kind of a I fear that some readers might be missing out just because their store just telling, oh, it didn't come out again, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it's out there. You can get it through directly through ScoutComics.com, their store. If you wanted to start here with Emmett's story and you wanted to find out more about the Stabity Bunny universe, then you could. We also have the trade paperback, which encompasses issues 1 through 6. And Scout still has individual copies of 7 and 8. So it's possible to even to get caught up before 9 comes out. But like I say about this issue, though, I think it's perfect for it is an integral part of the storyline. We do get some of the pieces of the puzzle within this issue. And it's a perfect jumping on point for someone who's never read it before and maybe isn't reading comics that much, or maybe it's a good comic to suggest to a friend who maybe would be wanting to, you'd want to introduce to comics. I don't know. It'd be kind of a very raw, emotional introduction to comics, but, you know, it could work for some people. Mm-hmm. I just want
to. But, Richard,
sure
that, just to throw a thought out there, not to cut you off. Sorry, brother, but I got an idea. No. It's kind of like what DC's doing with the Black Label stuff, man. They're really. They're shocking you with how you think of Batman and Superman and those guys we grew up on. They were so wholesome. They're shocking you with those kind of new stories that are a little darker. And then, like, even going back with DC with Vertigo, it takes these kind of comics, that these bold statements that really rebrand something or open eyes to a whole different set of people that would never care about something like this, you know?
Right. Well, I agree with that point, and I think, you know, not to speak for Wayne here, but I think that by all means, interject a thought, because, you know, I'd rather have a fuller conversation at any time. So don't apologize. You didn't interrupt me at all. You just became part of that topic. But I think that. Emmett's story actually could go on from here if people wanted to know more about just Emmett, because as with most of the characters, there's a lot more to all the characters than ever makes it to the comic. And, you know, Emmett has a full life outside of occasionally appearing in Stabity Bunny. So that's possible that it could go on and you know, dealing with his life now and, you know, take the story to new chapters as well.
Well, I should interject and point out that for full disclosure, I'm the editor of that book. And so that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to let you guys do all the talking and stuff as the creators. You guys have I don't want to come across as biased in any way, although I do love the book. It's the reason why I'm an editor there. But the thing that really impresses me, and I'm really glad to see things going, is that when we have gone to conventions, and I've gone with Richard and kind of helped him, we see some people who come and say, I haven't read any other comics, but this is the first one. And I really fell in love with the book. And there's just, it's just one of those great kind of things that is just, it appeals to people. It may not appeal to a Superman or Batman writer. I don't know about that. I think that it appeals to everybody. I think just like your Byron's going to appeal to everybody, Chris, I think this is the kind of a book, because it's rooted in humanity and grounded in it, I think it's going to be, it's the kind of thing that people will really appreciate.
I hope so. I really do. I really hope that new readers and even old readers don't take this, I don't want to say the wrong way, but don't take this as like a change for Stabity Bunny, or that Richard or the creative, you know, team on the book are going to, you know, skew Stabity Bunny one way or make it biased in any way. I hope they don't do that. And if they do, and they're listening to this from a reader of Stabity Bunny and somebody who's known Richard for, what, 5 or 6 years now, maybe longer,
mm-hmm.
I would not feel that at any time Richard has made me think about this lifestyle that the book talks about in any way. Mm-hmm. I've always just viewed it as like, hey, Richard, what's up, brother? How you doing? Kind of thing. And mm-hmm. I've read Stabbity Bunny and I've read Emmett's story, obviously. And the two books are, they're so good. And I just want to say that if anybody's listening to this and just wants to hear it from somebody who's part of it, please don't let this be the tipping point for either direction. Read this. Take it for what it is, and then read Stabbity Bunny and take that for what it is, and then somehow form your own merger of the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just it's always interesting how people respond to it. You know, that's why Richard developed Stabbity Ever After, was because he wanted to have something that, if somebody didn't go into the family drama kind of thing, this is a more action-adventure kind of thing, as Stabbity Ever After is. And so We're trying to appeal to as many people as we can. You know, you hope eventually if somebody buys one of the other books, they're going to say, well, what else is there? And kind of look into the other book.
No, I was just going to say, and I thank you for saying that. And before I forget, because, this is a great conversation that's rolling forward. And I just want to be sure to make a shout out to the entire team that just poured so much effort into this issue. I've worked with Dwayne. Dwayne Biddix has become one of my closest friends, and we're aware of each other's lives and the larger points of view, and we've lived through things together. And I told him, as far as the story was concerned, that I wouldn't want anybody else in the world to do it. That I felt that it's a certain vulnerability, a certain investment, a certain importance this has to me, that I felt I needed to be on that wavelength with somebody for them to convey this story. The same thing with Liesl Buenaventura, the color artist. She's been working on the book since the beginning, and she's worked on almost everything I've ever done color-wise. And, I mean, her son has grown up on Stabbity Bunny. I mean, he was still an infant when she began working on the book. And she knew how important this book was to me, and she came to really appreciate the book, and she wrote a really touching email to me about the book, and I know that she put everything she could into it. And James Reed, the letterer, he did the same. You know, he sent me comments about the book, which he had never really done before, you know, dealing with some of the story, etc. And I know that you, Wayne, on the editorial side and on just being there, sounding board side, really invested as well. And I just want to thank the whole team for everything they've done. I could not have done it without everyone that was involved in this. And then, you know, I've been a huge fan of Chris forever. And I think it was New York. I think it's been like 6 years now. The first time I got to see his work in person. And I'm really thrilled, and I was honored for him to do that first cover that he did, but then to be a part of this is just, you know, it's almost unrealistic to, you know, almost like something I can't really wrap my head around, you know, to this point. It's just such a, really want to thank you, Chris, for doing such a beautiful job and for just lending your talent and, you know, the human being that you are, and just pouring yourself into getting behind this issue.
But of course, man. And I also, while we're on this whole thanking and sharing kind of moment right now, I want to make it as publicly known from here forward and backdated, however we need to do it, that my introduction to Scout and my meeting James and the rest of the guys at Scout, and I honestly believe having the opportunity to present my own story to them came from my introduction to Richard. Because I think if Richard hadn't given me the opportunity to do that cover for the New York Comic Con, I would have never had a reason or a chance to stop at the Scout booth to go, hey, I'm the guy who did this, because I wouldn't have been the guy who did this. And I don't know, all of us have been at countless numbers of conventions that a publisher sitting there trying to sell their books, in walks this guy that says, hey, I can draw. the first thing out of their mind is, yeah, sure. Hey, I got this idea. I could do this. Yeah, sure. Cool. Anyways, thanks. You want to buy this? They don't mean to be that way, but they get bombarded by everybody wanting to show their stuff off, and it gets overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So if I had just done it the traditional route where I went up and showed my portfolio and took my lumps and all that, who knows if I would be here today. But I will say that Richard helped me get this, and that has been a 30-year goal of mine. For the last 30 years, I have wanted to see my name in previews and my, you know, to know that I'm now a professional comic book artist. Like, I drew comic books and I made art and I did comic cons, and but now I'm a professional, and I can say that because of Richard.
Wow.
Wow. Well, whatever little bit I helped, it's my pleasure, Chris, because it's long overdue. I'm so glad to see your stuff being in more people's hands, and unfortunately that means more of them will be vying for your artwork, but I'll still elbow my way through and try to get some great pieces anyway.
We'll save it for you.
Well, you know, one of the things I always talk about going to conventions, one of the best benefits of going to a convention are connections, and that's how we met you, was through conventions. And it's just amazing to me, you know, this is one of those cases where, when you know somebody and they know somebody, you know, it kind of crosses over and you get a chance to strut your stuff in front of that person. So that's one of the great things about cons. Speaking of which, since it's 2020, Chris, do you know any of the conventions that you're going to this year yet? Have you scheduled any?
I've got a handful. The first comic-related convention I'm going to be at, I believe, is C2E2 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
And then I follow that up with an amazing two-day show in Greenville, South Carolina. It's called South Carolina Comic Con, put on by Borderlands Comics and Games. And it's one of my favorite shows all year to attend. It's family fun. The promoters are just so genuinely good people. So those are my next two. And then after that, it's just kind of, I'm doing a bunch of more oddity stuff because I do a little more darker art as well, and a little more out there kind of style of painting and stuff. So I've got a handful of those coming up. One in Atlanta in 1st of February. And then after that, I got a couple throughout the East Coast.
Okay. We're going to have to talk about that Greenville, South Carolina. Maybe you can put in a good word for me. It sounds like a good time.
I'd be more than glad to. Be more than glad to.
See, conventions at work. There you go. Your point is made there, Wayne.
Richard, let's talk about, do you have anything scheduled yet for 2020 as far as the conventions go?
I do. The very first one will be Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle. An amazing convention. If you haven't been there and you've been thinking about it, it's definitely worth the trip. And also the surroundings are amazing. So if it's on your list, if it's not on your list, put it on your list. And if it is, you know, definitely make a point. If not this year, then sometime soon, because the convention is like six levels of incredible fun. And it's really well run. I was there just doing some signings and things with CGC a couple years ago, and I really enjoyed it, and I'm going back now. I'll be in their Artist Alley area. I don't think we have tables assigned yet, but I'm looking forward to that. And there are a couple of other conventions that are coming up that I have to admit right now slipped my mind, and I apologize for that, but it is much later in the year, and I'm sure if you want to, it might even be on the site right now, and all I have to do is check. But go to stabbitybunny.com, and that's two B's, one T. And you can always keep up with us there. And really, the most current stuff is always going to be on Facebook and the Twitter and, you know, social media stuff. So one of my informal resolutions is just to translate more of the experience we're having and what we're doing, and just try to make that pretty fresh on those platforms. So, but for right now, definitely Emerald City. Ryan Kincaid will also be there, and Ryan Kincaid is the other half of the Stabity Ever After, which we like to say is kind of like Looney Tunes meets Kill Bill. So and I know that's not the preferred format there of pitching, but I think it still kind of gets you, conjures an image. Mm-hmm. But we'll both be there, and we'll both be signing some special issues. So I feel I'm rambling. That's it.
That's okay. Well, you lead right into asking Chris. If people want to keep track of your stuff online, I know you have urbanpop.com. Could you spell that for people? Because I don't think people know how it's spelled.
Yeah, they want to spell it U-R-B-A-N, but you actually take the A out of it. So it's U-R-B-N-P-O-P. It's .com, of course. Instagram, same thing. Facebook, same thing. Or you can do it by my full name, Chris Hamer, H-A-M-E-R. One, you get a little more of my family and personal life. And I don't want to say my opinions because I try not to share too many of them on social media. Mm-hmm. But occasionally you will get my opinion. So there's that. And then there's my art page. And then there's my Instagram, which you get like the photo version of everything. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
Any other projects that you're working on we should be aware of? Or is Byron going to keep you busy for a little while?
Well, Byron's going to keep me busy for a little bit. And I got another project that we actually found out this weekend that will be put on through Scout, but I cannot say anything just yet, but it will be a completely different style artwork and style story that people who read The Adventures of Byron, it's going to be night and day. And then, like I said, I got that Solar Flare cover coming out. I'm still waiting to hear back when, but there's a Gut Ghost cover that I did. Mm. And then, yeah.
You have a new Gut Ghost figure available, don't you? Oh, no, that's it. That's Enzo. That's right. That's Enzo. I got confused there for a second.
I wish I had one, but it sold out before I could get online. Thanks for rubbing it in, Wayne.
I think Byron is going to be a perfect, like I said before, is going to be a perfect companion for Stabity Bunny and Gut Ghost, and that's all just going to work together. I always start to see them all blending together.
I can already see the four pack with Byron, Stabity Bunny, Ghost, and Metal Shark Bro. Four pack of figures. Yeah.
I'll tell you a funny story, and I don't know if it's just funny to me or the way I interpreted it. And I'm gonna, when I actually get some time next week to hang out with James, I'm gonna pick his brain some more. But when the idea that Scout would put Byron issues out, he's like, man, this would be like, this character's just like cool and cute looking. I bet he would be a marketing dream. And I was like, well, funny you say that. And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, I'll send you some pictures. In the first like 24 hours, I sent him everything from soap to condoms to stuffed animals to blankets. I mean, I literally had put this dude on stuff, and he'd been Urban Pop's logo for 10 years before he actually got a comic book. Wow. So like guitar picks, hockey pucks, they were on everything. I put Byron's face on.
Didn't he appear on Walking Dead?
He was on, well, he had a bit part. Oswald played a bigger part.
Yes, right.
But they were on season 5 of Walking Dead. So obviously the show is way past season 5, so I'm not doing a spoiler. But if you go back and you look at season 5, there's the episode where Carl meets all the kids, and I believe what was called Alexandria.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when he walks up the stairs, before he meets the kids for the very first time, he walks up these stairs, and he opens this, like, attic door. And, like, he thinks there's something going on. He opens his door, and if you look really close and really quick, there's a Byron poster on the back wall kind of curled. And so when that episode aired, I had given or put on loan to AMC in the set department for the background set almost 8 months before that. And they used it, contracts were signed, and it was under the impression of, hey, if we use it, awesome. If we don't, bummer. But you can't tell anybody you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, cool. So I just kind of put it in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. And it, honestly, didn't think it was going to happen, you know, because you never know how movie magic and TV magic goes. And so my buddy Sarah, who organized the, you know, interaction with me and AMC, called me the week before that episode aired on Sunday. And she goes, hey, it's going to be in this week's episode. Don't say anything. I'm like, Sarah, you're calling me on Wednesday. I've got four more days that I can't tell anybody. And I think my wife was kind of like, stop telling me. You're bragging now. You know I don't care. Go take the trash out. You know? So it comes out and Sunday airs. And I'm sitting there like, just like, what's it going to be? And I'm fully expecting to be just like the Byron description, where it's like that back corner where the camera pans like 90 million seconds past it. And you're like, oof. And like, you just see it. And I'm like, that was me. Woohoo, look at me. So when Carl opens that door and I saw it for the first time, we had cable at the time, I guess, before we got our Roku. And I rewound it a little bit. And so, like, as I'm trying to take a picture of that still, of that, like, curled picture in the far background, my phone starts blowing up in my hands with, like, Facebook notifications and my friends texting me going, holy shit, you're on The Walking Dead. Can I say shit? I think it's too late. I said it twice. So they're like, holy crap, you're on The Walking Dead. And I'm like, you saw that? And so, like, as I'm taking this picture, the next scene comes up where he goes to the next door and he opens the door and he goes to talk to these kids.
Yeah.
And this girl sitting on this bed, and right behind this girl is this gigantic poster of Oswald.
Right.
And it was like, at that moment, I'm like stopped and like, I feel like I dropped my phone kind of like that, or at least in my head, like everything moves slow. Mm-hmm. And I was like, holy crap, this is for real. Look at that. And then they pan to the next conversation Carl has, and there's another character that he will slowly be appearing in the Byron comic, but his name's Roscoe. And you see him, and I went, oh, my God. And the original pieces that I sent to AMC were 8.5 by 11. And when they were done, they were like 18 by 24 or bigger, printed on the wall. So you cannot miss them at all. And it was one of those moments where I was like, awesome, I'm going to be huge because of this. And then the reality set in that AMC or Walking Dead doesn't credit anybody for set background. And if you knew my art, well, then you already knew who I was.
Right.
And if you just seen it, you're just like, oh, whatever, that's some kind of cool poster in the background. You know, I wonder what cartoon that's from or what rock band that is, you know. And so... it, nobody whatsoever, like, even stopped me in public that didn't already know me and was like, they saw my art at a convention.
Mm-hmm.
And then they stopped me and went, hey, were you on The Walking Dead? And at that point, I was just like, ah, ha, 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 that's cool. 19.6 million people saw it. And I have nothing for it. But at the same time, I had everything for it.
Yeah.
And then they move forward to later in the season, and it happened all over again.
Hmm?
There was another pivotal scene that, like, Rick is, like, going to kill Deanna, and they're in the baby's room. And so, like, he goes to smash her brains out right under Oswald. Hmm. And so it was, like, two moments where you look at it and you go, wow. It is right in front of everybody's face.
Wow.
And... all of my friends know, and everybody's so proud of me, and I'm proud of myself. My family's proud of me. But it's one of those, like, shiny moments that I just get to go, yep, I was on Walking Dead. Yeah, and then somebody goes, really? And I'm like, yeah.
We should take stills and put them up in your booth when you go to conventions.
Well, you know, so that's funny you say that. Is the first convention I did right after that, I was on an end cap at a show, an Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. And I took those two posters. And I put signs, I printed them out with the stills from the TV show. And I put, as seen on The Walking Dead, got all kind of like cocky about it for a minute. Mm-hmm. And hung those on an entire like end cap of grid wall. And had them just pointed out, like, I mean, as close as I could have to having blue lights and arrows pointing down at it and up at it and, you know, dancing chimpanzees around it and whatever. Mm-hmm. And people walk right by it. Right by it. And then I'd have this tiny little, like, whatever on my desk, and then they would pick up on that. I shouldn't say desk, my table. Mm-hmm. And they would have this, they'd pick up on this tiny little thing, like the hockey puck I put out. And they're like, oh, you have hockey pucks. And I'm like, yes, I do. Did you see that? I was on Walking Dead. And they were like, cool, but this hockey puck's great. And I went, all right, you know what? I'm just going to be, you know, like, I'm just going to be like, okay, cool, if you know, you know. And so when Byron got with James was like, we got to promote it as Walking Dead. And I was like, cool. He was like, why aren't you doing this? And so many people have been like, why aren't you promoted like that? I'm like, because nobody remembers it. Hmm. It's like season 10 now. That was season 5. Like, mm-hmm. And it was a blip. But it's one of those moments that, man, like, I just go, shit, I was like that. Mm-hmm. 19.6 million people saw it one time aired through. So every time it re-aired, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, maybe one day it'll all come back where, like, that one kid will be walking through the aisle and he'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that.
But it was still a great event for you. I think that's a wonderful thing, though.
Oh, yeah. And please, do not get me wrong. It was that moment of like, okay, cool. This is pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I made it a great moment for me. I'm like, yeah, I know that guy.
I think my wife said the same thing. I know that guy.
Okay, well, it's just great to talk with you guys. It's Adventures of Byron again, and when is that coming out?
February 19th. Right now, well, I should say last month, but you can still go do it if you haven't, which I'm just going to kind of say you should go do it. That's about as blunt as I can be about this. You should go to your local comic store. You should tell them that you want to order the Adventures of Byron number 1 on Scout. Mm-hmm. And while you're there, if you have a pull list, you should not only add the Adventures of Byron to your pull list, because it's only going to be 4 times a year, so it's totally affordable. Mm-hmm. And while you got that pull list out, you should make sure that they order all the Stabbity Bunnies, Stabbity Esther, mm-hmm. Emmett Story, anything that Richard and Dwayne put out. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm just going to be, you know, maybe Mr. Big Shot here and say, while you got that pull list out, just get everything Scout does. They're not bad. They're not that bad.
I like a lot of Scout.
I mean, even though James is addicted to Dr. Pepper, they're not that bad.
Yeah, well, okay, you know, that's... James recently, I think he's been in a clinic. He's trying to get detoxed. But I hear that a few loyalists have been sneaking in the Dr. Pepper anyway.
Yeah, I'm just going to mainline it when I get there. Start going through all his cabinets in his bathroom and see if he has a Dr. Pepper toothpaste and
He's got IVs. You just hook up one of those.
Oh, yeah.
There's 12 of them, and you just got to punch in a ticket, and it unlocks, you know, 50 cents, it unlocks, and you got Dr. Pepper all day.
Somewhere James Hake is laughing.
Either that or he's going, I should have never started this. I should have never told somebody that. So, well, Richard and Wayne, it's going to be our secret that we are obsessed with something that we're not going to tell people.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, as far as, and again, the signing is on January 11th. It's going to be at the Scout headquarters in Fort Myers.
From 1 to 6.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So you'll see both these guys there, and you'll be able to get their autographs. So that'll be good stuff. And also, again, Richard, we've had the Stabbity Ever After number 2 come out recently. We've also just gotten the Emmett Story, the one-shot. And number 9 is not far away either. So you guys are putting out good stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
And
that's a wrap for this episode. If this weekend is a holiday one for you, have a great time. And even if it isn't, we'll see you next week. So until then, keep reading your comics.